Sports Radio 99 The Game. Welcome to the Bo Johnson Experience Freestyle Edition. Because I just got off work, literally about an hour ago, and came straight here. Apologies, I dropped my pen. While I never go into anything completely unprepared, sometimes you go into things not as prepared as you'd like to be, but it's 2 hours, and we're just going to talk our ways through it. It's going to be fun. We've got a lot to talk about the Braves, of course, dropping 2 out of 3 to the Yankees, but some house cleaning stuff to get out of the way first. 404-726-0929. Give us a shout. You can call the phone if you want to. You can send a text on the text line if you want to. Any and everything. Well, you know, most things are on the table. Of course, Braves. We're going to talk some fantasy football at about 7:40. Never quite got through that list of 10 things to make your fantasy football league better. And then if we get through there, I do still want to try to make the case for Brock Bowers going in the first round this year. It may be a little tough, but I don't think it's going to be as tough as you may think. We're going to experience the headlines next. We're going to experience the NFL at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. You know, we'll do a weekly rewind where we just had the week. There was a lot of stuff going on this week, which is going to make, you know, this 2 hours kind of fly by, even, you know, though I haven't written down every single word I'm going to say. SEC Media Days were this week. Our radio station was there every day with great coverage, getting great sound. We had lots of interviews. Got a lot of that stuff I'm going to play for you. A lot on the SEC 9-game SEC schedule thing. And I'm kind of confused by what people are wanting to achieve out of all this. Because there's conversations to be had on both sides of this proverbial coin that could help. And there are reasons that could hurt on both sides. But it seems like something that could, you know, should be pretty easy to resolve. I don't know if it's going to take a vote or what the final answer is going to be on this whole thing. We'll get there probably about, I don't know, 8:40. With you for about the next, 115 minutes or so. Something like that. Either way, 404-726-0929. Dom Turoski is on the other side of the glass. You can call and talk to Dom, and he'll put you on the call screener. Dominator, how was your weekend, man? How's everything going for you?
Very good, very good. It was a bit of a busy week. Like I said, I was filling in for Dylan, so I was on the morning shift, so it was a lot of waking up at 4 a.m.
That never gets Thursday and Friday. Easy, does it?
Yeah, that was fun. But outside of that, that was pretty chill.
You never get used to those hours. And you'll never have anybody ever tell you that they do.
Yeah, I was gonna say I've had jobs like I worked at Lowe's for a while, and because we deal with contractors and stuff, we like Lowe's opens at like 6 a.m.
Yeah.
So like I'm typically there at Lowe's at like 5 a.m. getting like when I worked there, I was getting registers and stuff together. So I'm used to waking up early, but it's still a grind.
I've done the waking up early thing a lot. You just never get used to it.
Yeah,
I've done, and even here I've done mornings. I've done morning show. I've done weekend mornings. I did weekend mornings with Sam and Greg for like 3 years. And that's only twice a week. And then I've done jobs outside of here, right at B places at like 6 a.m. and whatnot. And even before I was in programming, when I was, you know, a street teamer, we had stuff where we had to be there at 6 a.m. You never get used to going to bed at like 10, getting up at like 3 a.m.
See, that's the thing.
So
for
hard
me,
for me.
I can't force myself to like go to bed early. So like, it for me, it's just I'm probably going to be up until midnight.
In a three-hour nap.
Then I'm going to bed, and then I'm waking up.
Look, if you get 3 hours, getting 3 hours of sleep is better than getting 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Based on your sleep cycles and whatnot. I'm very fascinated by sleep and sleep cycles and the psychology behind sleeping and how much you actually need.
Your REM cycle and stuff like that.
Because I took psychology in college, and that's about all I remember or got from it is, you know, sleep cycles and how much sleep you actually need. And that's why I try to get 6 hours of sleep every night.
Yep.
It's a nice number that fits your sleep cycles. 6 hours is better than 7 or 8 hours, depending on who you ask. And if you're going to get more than 6, get 9.
I was going to say, I've always said 8 just feels like so much.
Because wake up in the wrong sleep cycle and you're grunt.
Yeah, yeah. Give me a good 6 and I'm good.
So, busy weekend for me. And I say busy because I worked every day. So, I guess that's busy.
Yeah, that's busy.
Braves have a fun one on Friday night. Beat the Yankees. They kind of almost made it interesting. on Friday night. Strider was on the mound. And look, these days, you know, we're just trying to get wins and trying to have fun. And you are going to get an entertaining product when you come to Truist Park. I don't care what happens for the rest of the season. I do firmly believe that this baseball club can play 500 baseball in the second half. Give you a nice product to watch. Coming to baseball games, if you don't think about October or try to get that out of your mind, like don't think about the fact that it's probably not going to be a playoff season. You think about the fact that one game at a time type deal, and you're just going to a baseball game to have a blast with your family, and I say an absolute blast because the Battery is a fun place to be, then it should still be a fun summer for you. You know, and that's, you know, because I've been as a fan through lots of Braves seasons that they didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Going to baseball games is still fun.
Yeah, you just, listen, go out there, go to the Battery, have a great time.
Drink a daiquiri, go in the game,
and totally, and totally ignore what's going on the field.
We don't even have to ignore what's going on the field because they're going to put out, they still have a winning record at home this season.
That is true.
They win more than they lose at home. Yes. Despite this past weekend series, they do win more than they lose at home. So, there is that. There's lots to look forward to for the rest of the season at Truist Park. Hell, there's a Batman bobblehead giveaway in like 3 weeks, and I'm so excited. This is a ticket package giveaway, so you got to buy cheap tickets. I did do that. I can't wait for this one. And then that same week, there's something else. There's lots of giveaways still, lots of good times to be had at the Battery and at Truist Park. So keep on coming out, Braves fans, as it will get better. But Friday night, if you were lucky enough to be there or you've even seen it on a highlight reel, you saw one of the best offensive assists. And it's crappy that that's what it is because it's just not flashy. Because when you say assist, you think of Steph throwing the ball or Trey piling up a lot of assists in NBA games where assists are counted in as one leg of a triple-double, and they mean a lot. They don't mean more in basketball, but you see them more often. You're used to that being a part of the game. An assist in baseball is you're assisting the person that makes an out by throwing the ball to them. Ronald Acuna Jr. threw the ball 303 feet in the air. I had to see. This is the problem with not writing a whole lot of things down. What was the cat's name? Devo? Doesn't matter. Yankees guy that bats like ninth, who was tagging up from second base. Ronald Acuna Jr. makes an over-the-freaking-shoulder throw, then throws the ball flat-footed. He did not step. Throws the ball flat-footed 303 feet. Longest outfield assist since like 2021, which I find hard to believe. But a lot of these, that's even right there not as doesn't give to you. Like when I say there was one of these throws like 2021, you're thinking same throw. No, this ball in 2021 probably bounced one time at least. It probably was right field to third base because there's not too many places in a baseball park where you can get that distance. That's why you have to have a right fielder with a strong arm. That's why you usually put that slugger, strong arm right fielder out there because you need somebody like Vlad Guerrero to make that throw. Ichiro made a laser beam throw from right field to third base. But even the Ichiro throw, if you remember, Ichiro's bounced, and it wasn't from the right field freaking corner like Ronnie's was. This throw had Roberto Clemente written all over it. Snit even acknowledged that and compared Ronnie's throw to Roberto Clemente after the game. An absolute just dime of a throw after catching a fly ball over your shoulder. If you have not seen this play out there, and most of you that listen do pay attention to baseball, if you haven't seen it, go to your computer right now and Google it. And if you're not just awestruck by this throw that Ronald Acuna Jr. made Friday night, an absolute dime on the fly. And it wasn't a big rainbow. Like, it's goodness gracious alive. What a throw. But anyways, so we move on to and look, I'll play. I have the audio for that. We're going to play it in the next segment when we experience the headlines. I'm going to get a little more into the details of the Braves series this weekend. As we move on, or in the first segment, as we move on to Saturday, Braves lose. Everybody's asking me on Saturday afternoon, Sunday even today, why did they pull Joey Wentz out of the game? He'd gone four innings and he was pitching well. Well, he's not a starter. He's still being stretched out. Snit does explain that after the game. Got that audio for you next or in the next segment too. Then there's a couple of things in this game on Saturday that I wanted to discuss real fast. First of all, Eddie Perez is never going to tell any pitcher, any baseball player, or anyone to throw at any other player's head. All right? Jazz Chisholm, while he was on second base, was indeed stealing signs. He did indeed give signs to Anthony Volpe while he was hitting. And that's 100% legal, which is why, unfortunately, we've gone to PitchCom a lot with pitchers and catchers. Now, I'm not a huge fan of PitchCom. I like throwing fingers down. I would rather, instead of PitchCom, you go old school and use code words and code numbers like I do in softball. 415. And there you go. Change up outside, you know? I would rather do that than PitchCom. PitchCom never works for an entire game. We got to stop the game every time. I would rather them, if PitchCom doesn't work, throw down the fingers for the rest of the inning and fix it in the you know, in between. So Jazz is over there stealing signs, quite blatantly, but it is legal. When you're on second base, it's not against the rules to steal a sign. How can you make it against the rules when it's something that's right there in front of everybody? There are things you can do to try to hide it, but the guy on second base, if you can figure out what the sign is, you can steal it. Now, for them to have signs about stealing signs, when you steal a sign on second base, if your team, if y'all have signs to give to the hitter because you're stealing signs, now to me that's kind of eh. But again, legal. So of course Eddie Perez takes exception to that because they don't play that way. Snit doesn't, none of those guys teach these guys, hey, get on second base and steal a sign. Here's the sign that means fastball. Here's the sign that means curveball. There are a lot of teams, you know, there is a certain aspect, what's the word, Dom? Ethics, is it ethic?
Yeah, it's ethics, around, morals, decorum, whatever, yeah, one of those.
There's a certain, some teams have it, some teams don't. Evidently, Aaron Boone doesn't. That's fine.
Sportsmanship.
But Jazz and Eddie Perez are jawing back and forth. Eddie's trying to tell Jazz, hey, man, use your head. He wasn't telling somebody to hit him in the head. So anyway, that was a thing. There was also another thing that happened Saturday afternoon. All right. And it's going to be social experiment time real fast. And this is going to be with a blind resume. All right? I understand that Rossell Iglesias has not had a great year. He's probably on his way out the door. Yesterday was not a great game for him, for the Braves to be like, hey, look what we got here, this guy. All right? Now, what I'm not happy about is there are certain people on Twitter, there are certain people that I work with at the ballpark. I'm not trying to call out any names here, Reese, but I have people that were telling me when Iggy comes into the game on Saturday, I hear all this, oh, darn, gosh. And there's people on Twitter that are saying, oh, game's over. I knew the game was over as soon as they put this guy in. Now, he does give up the Grand Slam. He had nothing to do. Who was it? Montero that comes in, doesn't even get an out. Has to face three batters. They all get on base. That's how the base is. And this is earlier in the game. And then somebody has to come behind him and clean it up. Or maybe Montero came in to clean it up. De La Cruz's mess or whatever. Huge mess. Huge kerfuffle on Saturday. We gave up a big lead. I think we're up 6-1 or something at some point. Doesn't matter. But for the negativity about Rossell Iglesias coming in the game, he's the best guy in your bullpen right now. I hope you understand this. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to pull up Iggy's last however many games. I'd be willing to bet that it's been 5 games at least since Iggy's given up anything. Now, he hadn't been in the high leverage situation. If you want to call 7th inning in a close game more high leverage than, or more less high leverage than 9th, okay, but it's still preserving a lead with major league hitters coming up to the plate. All right, so I just want, for example, to y'all, because some people get on a high horse, and especially if it's like the Sean Murphy can't hit player. Sean Murphy is the best hit bat in the offense right now. Next to maybe Ronald Acuna Jr., his, you know. But and it's frustrating. Because the Sean Murphy that can't hit people haven't been watching the last month of Sean Murphy hitting. They just want to, they take something bad that a player does, maybe they don't like his glasses, and they want to stay on that and harp on it for the rest of the season. Watch games, people. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to a fantasy app here because that's the easiest, the quickest way you can get stats on players on the fly, what they did last week, what they do is fantasy baseball or football apps. I'm going to search Rosell Iglesias because I know that on a fantasy app, it'll tell me, because if I'm picking up a free agent, I want to know what they've done in the last like 5, 10, whatever games. All right. Saturday, July 19th, Iggy went one inning. He had one strikeout. His ERA was 36. He gave up a grand slam, and I think he recorded all three outs. We lost the game. I think he did make it out of that inning, and then we lost in the he was in the eighth, and it doesn't matter. We lost the game. All right, here we go. I have every outing here for Rosell Iglesias going all the way back to June 23rd, which is, oh, wow, look at this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 outings. And this is as far back as this particular app goes. Rosell Iglesias has not given up a run in his last 11 outings.
I was going to say, I'm looking at it on ESPN right now.
11 outings without giving up a run.
He hasn't given up. This is his first time giving up a run since June 5th.
So
June 5th was the last time he gave up a run.
And he's a relief pitcher.
Yeah, that was against the Arizona Diamondbacks where he gave up 3.
So I go back to June 6th, 17th. He's on a PC where he has a bigger screen. You can have more information. So he has 2 more weeks of his outings where there's probably like 5 or 6 more outings in that 2 weeks. It's been a month. You can't just sit here and say, darn it, Rosell Iglesias is coming in the game. I hate it when he pitches. You can't do that. Now, he gives up the grand slam, and you're proven right. But sometimes we can't just hate on people just to hate. You can't hate on somebody for what they did in April, especially in baseball. He did that in April and May. I get it. But since June 3rd, he was been lights out up until Saturday. So he turned human on Saturday. Just, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to stop bringing rain on my parade. I've been a fan of Iggy's for a long time since he went back to the Reds. He was a great fantasy baseball pitcher that you could get under the radar because he played for the Reds. Struck a bunch of people out, got a bunch of saves. Anyways, get off his case. Yeah, Saturday sucked, but get off his case. You know, he's been good. All right, we're going to experience the headlines next. Give me about 5 minutes. Bo Johnson Experience on Sports Radio 99 The Game and the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 99 The Game. Welcome back to the experience. I am Bo Johnson. 404-726-0929. That is the number that you can contact the show with, either by text or by phone. Call and talk to my boy Dom. He's going to call and let you talk to me. We're going to have some fun. Or you can text, like the 678 did. Some of your talent doesn't want to pick up the Ozzie Albies option. Please stop him from that stupid take. You mean the like $6 million option? Probably the cheapest second baseman in the league. Who's pretty good at, look, Ozzie's scuffled just like everybody else has. Big home run. Was that? He said like 10 RBIs in like the last 3 days. While not as good of a career average as Michael Harris, who we'll get to in a little bit, Ozzie Albies is still like a 265 career hitter. Can we just not? It's baseball. Can we not? You can't just give up on somebody after one slump. And look, 162 games, slumps can happen. You know, 15, 20 games at a time. That's a month, people. But that happens. It does happen. They will all get out of it. It will happen. There's no fire sale coming or needed. Braves absolutely should pick up the option on Ozzie Albies. And they will. So before we get to the headlines, let me just say, Yankees fans out there. So Yankees fans, for one thing, showed up at Truist Park this weekend. Dom, did Grant go over the last time the Yankees were here? Because I want to say it's been 5 or 6 years.
No.
So they just did the balance schedule thing. They started that like last year, I think, when they went back to 12 division games. They've never done a scheduling where we play every American League team every year. And that just started last year, I think. Last year we went to New York. This year Yankees came here. It's not a home and home. You just get one series with every American League team. Before that, it was you get your rival, your interleague rival, which for us is the Red Sox, and then you would get like another division, and your whole division would play that division. So it's been 5 or 6 years. I'm not even 100% sure, although I think that they have. I'm not 100% sure if the Yankees have even been to Truist Park since the park opened, but they surely they have, if you remember that or the series. But it's been a while is my point. All right. The Yankees, and look, we know Yankees have fans everywhere. They are 27-time world champion, probably the most popular franchise in Major League Baseball. It's the Yankees. You know, the internet exists. You can't hate anybody for being a Yankees fan. Good friend of mine, Jeremy, if you're out there listening, what's up? My little brother that I've worked with for years. Been a Yankees fan because they're 27-time champions. I can't fault you for that. The internet did that, you know? He's a Lakers fan.
We got guess one that why. Worked at this station. That works at this station.
Actually from New Jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, look, they're everywhere. They showed out. They showed up. I couldn't tell from inside the Truist Club when we did something or they did something, because to me it sounded like it was 50-50 as far as crowd noise. So good job, Yankees fans. Y'all travel, and at least you root for your teams. You pay attention to the games. I guarantee you there was a crap ton of, like, Yankees jerseys in that crowd this weekend with tags hanging off of them, too. But that's neither here nor there. And I'll tell you something else that Yankees fans do. Yankees fans, when it comes to stereotypes of Yankees fans, the stereotypical Yankees fan, if you Google it, which is probably a thing, you can probably Google stereotypical Yankees fans. Of all the fan bases in the world where you could Google stereotypical Yankees fan, nothing is more spot on than Yankees fans. Everybody was in the building this weekend. Vinny from Queens was there. Sal from the Bronx. Jenny from the block. Rocco from Lower Manhattan. They were all at Truist Park this weekend.
Beards. Whole cast. Whole cast.
Oh, yeah. The hair. The chains. Stereotypical Yankees fan. They were all in the building. Nothing against you. Come root for your team. And look, I'm not from New York. I'm from Louisiana. Look up stereotypical person from Louisiana. I don't know if I'll match what you're going to find out there. But it's just a look. And I'm sure you're all in your car right now, wherever you are. If you close your eyes and picture Yankees fan, whatever you come up with, that person was there. So anyways, but look, great job showing up. Your fans came out. Yankees took 2 out of 3. Dom, let's hit some, let's experience some headlines.
High and deep to right. Over toward the line, Acuna's got it. Tagging from second is Bivas. Whoa! They got him!
Bivas.
Are you kidding me? A frozen rope. Bivas cannot believe it. Frenchie, I'm stunned. And they're not going to challenge it.
No.
And why? Why do that?
Yes.
So, Bivas, maybe when you're tagging up on any play, maybe slide. Or run the whole way there. Now, look, he pulled up when he got to third and did not slide, which I'm sure he heard it from fans, teammates, coaches alike. What are you doing? But that does not throw any shade whatsoever on how great of a freaking throw Ronald Acuna did after catching the ball over his shoulder. I wasn't sure how the ball arrived at his shoulder after not seeing the play live. I didn't know he had caught the ball. I didn't know he was catching a fly ball. I thought he was catching a carom off the wall by how he was catching it. He caught a fly ball over his shoulder, all flat-footed, chucked the ball 303 feet to third base. A dime into the glove of Nacho Alvarez, who Nacho Alvarez should be committed on this play, too. It's a two-way play, two-way dance. Nacho had Bivas completely deked. Just standing there like he wasn't even going to get the ball. This is how you play the sport, ladies and gentlemen. Completely deked. Thought he could just pull up, ho-hum, I just tagged up on third. Nope. Here comes a bullet. Ah! Take a seat, Bivas. Here's something else. While I'm talking about Rossell Iglesias not having allowed a run in, like, I don't know, what was a month? Dom, I'll give you one guess. If you can tell me what scuffling Braves player who's caught in a lot of hate lately is on a 6-game hitting streak. 6 games is not a crap ton. But it's good. It's a nice little start to dig your way out of a hole. Any guesses? Because it is somebody that's been in a hole
lately. Yeah, is it the one that you got on your shirt right now?
It's not. Well, no, this is Grant Holmes. This is Eastbound.
Oh, so goodness. Okay, I'm sorry. I thought I was onto something. Is it one?
The shirt is
Matt Olson?
It's not. Olson's been tearing it up lately. No, yeah. Olson's been hitting pretty good. Made the All-Star team.
Who are we talking about here?
Michael Harris II is on a 6-game hitting streak.
Oh, look at him. Yeah.
So he's been working on stuff. Another player, look, Michael Harris has a .270 career average. He is a gold glove skill set center fielder. He will win a gold glove. All right? He does not deserve to be traded. He does not deserve to be sent down to AAA. All right? He deserves to stay right here where he has earned the spot. He's rookie of the year 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, one of those. Brian Snicker talked about changes Michael Harris has made to his approach. And look, he had a hit in all three of the games versus the Yankees and a nice home run yesterday. But before the All-Star break, he had hits in three games before that, too. 6-game hitting streak. Here's Snit on Michael Harris.
Well, I saw it in St. Louis. He started it there. You know, he was receptive to some changes that the guys have been talking to him about. And I like the look in St. Louis. It just, you know, looked like he was in a good position, and I think he is, and he's been receptive, and so hopefully it's something he can build on also.
So something that Michael Harris has done. Hey, congratulations! Thank you for everybody that went out to Money Mike's backpack drive on Friday. Was it Saturday? We mentioned it on Friday. It was either happening Friday afternoon or Saturday. They ran out of backpacks and had to go get more backpacks. That's freaking awesome. Thank you to everybody that went and donated. Good job, anybody that was in need of a backpack, if you went by. And shout out to the Catch 23 Foundation. He always does stuff in the community. He always does stuff with kids. They had to go get more backpacks. A lot of the people that went to the Catch 23 Foundation backpack drive said that they mentioned or they heard it mentioned on the radio. So, and his dad told me this today out of his own dad's mouth. He comes into the club all the time, know him pretty well. Shout out, Mike, if you're out there listening. Yeah, man, love to see it. So anyway, something that Grant brought up on Twitter, I believe, that has been noticed by a lot and something that Mike has done. Mike used to hold his bat right out in front of him, kind of like Ronald Acuna does, which, if it's going well for you, it's going well. Ronald Acuna Jr. has just godly bat speed, and he barely recoils the bat when he loads. It pretty much stays there, which is hard. And if you know about baseball, I've ever coached or played, you have to load, and that's going to you need to bring your hands back to be ready to hit the pitch. Most hitters load right before they're going to, you know, swing. That's how it works. So it was taking Mike longer time to load because his hands were out in front of him. And he's having to bring his hands back. So now he holds his hands higher, or has been lately, which is leading to a faster load to where he's getting two balls faster. Hit a nice home run yesterday. Glad to see my boy Mike Harris coming out of it, because he is. Dom, let's skip 11. Let's focus on the big awesome thing that happened today, because there was an awesome thing that happened today in the Braves game. Roll 13.
Hello, roof of the chop house. 442 feet for Matty O.
That ball went a long way.
It went over the chop house.
That looked like home run derby battles.
Yeah.
Let's admire that. That is such a beautiful swing.
Haven't got to touch much on the home run derby, the All-Star game. It did happen after last Sunday. It did. Man, if Matty O doesn't get off to a slow start, he wins that home run derby. He got hot in the first round and just started belting them. So Matt Olson today hits a 442-foot home run off the top of the chop house. All right, 442 feet top of the chop house. Longest home run in a regular game, Ronald Acuna Jr., 495, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think that was to right field, though. O'Neill Cruz, 513 feet in the home run derby. If 442 bounces off the chop house, 513 left the ballpark into the – now, I've seen some other videos and such of the broken window, how it may have been a fan going for the ball or something like that, or it might not have been a window across the street. Doesn't matter. Ono Cruz still hit a ball out of the freaking ballpark during the home run derby. An absolute freaking moonshot. Goodness gracious. All right. That's the headlines. There are some more stuff. Atlanta United won a game. Scotty Scheffler won the British Open. We'll get to that stuff in a little bit. Or we won't. We'll figure it out as we go along. That's what we're doing tonight. But what we are going to do next, 10 ways to make your fantasy football league better. If you want to give us a shout about fantasy football, any fantasy advice, draft advice, it is getting, we're coming up on draft season. 404-726-0929. We're going to talk some fantasy football next. The Bo Johnson Experience on Sports Radio 99 The Game. Sports Radio 99 The Game. Welcome back to the experience. 7:43 on a Sunday evening. I'll tell you what, Midtown is busy on Sunday evenings. I guess people are just, I don't know, Midtown's busy, but there's also just people out and about everywhere. But it's almost like driving up here on a Monday morning with so many people just out and walking down the street, and I guess there's church and Five Church and shows and stuff going on. Sunday night, you just don't think of a whole lot of things going on. Of course, it is 7:40, not, you know, 10 o'clock, which is, you know, traditionally when I've been in the building. Hey, if you're out there crossing the street, kind of put a hurry on it, a move on it. If you got people waiting on you to turn, you know. Look, you got the right-of-way, pedestrians, you know. Maybe get across the street a little when you got people waiting on you, you know. Maybe be courteous. Get across the street a little faster. I don't know. Just saying. Dom, do you know who Felix Baumgartner is?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
So this cat in 2012 jumped. I say jump. I guess you physically probably did jump, but you may have just fallen out of the airplane. That's kind of.
I saw the video. He stepped off. He didn't jump.
That's not jumping. And you're falling.
He stepped off. He did fall.
Now, he did fall out of an airplane from 39,000 meters in the sky. And if you need some. That's like the first, he fell from the stratosphere, which is the first layer of our atmosphere. Our atmosphere is made up of several different layers, and in each layer is different gases and stuff and whatnot. So the stratosphere is the first layer of our atmosphere. So technically, he was almost in space, because when SpaceX goes up and takes people into space, that's kind of where they're going. They're not going to the moon. They're just going right. About enough into just high enough to be considered space, to where you can see a lot of the Earth. You're way up there. This cat walked out of an airplane from way up there, broke the sound barrier on his way to Earth. Highest free fall by a human being ever. I'd love to know how you aim that. Because he's what's the word when you jump out of an airplane? You know.
Skydiving?
Skydivers. They're pretty accurate.
Yeah.
Like, they can jump somewhere and land on a spot. Now, you aim a parachute and whatnot. You can drive it. But doesn't a lot of that have to do with wind? Like, how do you hit a spot from 39,000 feet? Or did he? Did he have, like, a general area of landing? Like, he did it over a field? Maybe it was a mile or two, square mile or something like that? It had to have been something like that,
so,
right?
So, because you said, like, he crashed into a pool, right? Like, he crashed
just
into
recently,
a hotel.
Just recently he did, yeah. I was talking about the jump, though.
Just the jump, okay. Yeah. Okay, sorry, I'm getting ahead. But,
yeah.
So, I mean, the jump itself, I mean, from the stratosphere, that's...
I guess, because what they do is they, you know, you can tuck yourself and just go straight down, and you can pretty much aim a fall like that.
Here's my only concern. How does he not lose consciousness?
I guess he didn't during that one.
In that, like, because that's my thing, you know, like, especially if you're getting that high up.
Because the air being so thin?
The air and going that fast.
He had to have had some kind of oxygen tank or something.
Yeah, there's got to be something there to keep him from passing out. Because that would be my main concern doing that, is just you're especially breaking the sound barrier going that fast. Like,
the little puffy smoke thing and everything.
The G's, yeah, like all this, the G-force and stuff. I feel like that would make you pass out.
I don't know. But... Now that you mention it, he did sure as hell pass out late recently.
Yes.
So Felix Baumgartner was, he is the guy that made that drop or fall or jump, however you want to phrase it. Still a pretty cool thing. Broke the sound barrier. You hate to have an end like this for a daredevil. He was one of the best ones. He was recently paragliding, which is, so paragliding, is that the one where you're in the go-kart strapped to a hang glider?
No. So paragliding, I think, is the one where you like go off, or no, or is that parasailing? No,
parasailing, that's parasailing. You're attached to a boat.
Okay, so then paragliding is the one where you just have the glider and you just go in and you like run off.
Oh, so paragliding is running off a high, jumping off a high building and then floating
around.
Yeah,
just
and
floating
circles.
Around. That's paragliding. Yeah.
So yeah, so Felix Baumgartner was paragliding recently, and did lose consciousness, and did crash into a hotel swimming pool, and did not survive it. So R.I.P. Felix Baumgartner.
Absolutely. All right.
I hate to go out like that as a daredevil.
Yeah, but
I mean, that's still, he was jumping off of something higher than the hotel swim pool to be paragliding anywhere.
Right. I guess, you know, like as a daredevil, though, I think that's the way you kind of want to go out.
Yeah, it is doing something, but don't you want to, wouldn't you have rather died jumping out of like the space shuttle than like just paragliding off of the tallest building?
Yeah, you want to go out on the biggest one, I guess.
You know, I have no idea how tall the building was he was jumping off of that day. It is say, you know. He fell in, just crashed into a hotel swimming pool in Italy. So RIP.
In Italy, man.
Yeah. Jumping off of something.
Yeah.
So he did go out how he wanted to. RIP Felix. So 10 ways to make your fantasy football league more fun. We went over a few of these last Sunday. You always want to increase your league size to make it more fun. Definitely recommend doing a draft or a salary cap league. I definitely did go on my kicker and team defense rant. Try individual defensive players, IDP.
That's one I wanted. I haven't done a draft league with that,
also,
and I would like to do
that. Also, lots of fun.
That.
Now, currently in my league, we do IDP, but for me to get my league mates to try it, we just did one corner, one DB, can be corner safety, one linebacker, and one defensive lineman. So we only have three positions. Now, of course, lots of guys out there on the waiver wire, and it's an extremely deep position because we only start three guys every game. So I'm trying to get them this year to increase that. That way everybody doesn't have, like I've got Aiden Hutchinson and somebody else has, J.J. Watt or T.J. Watt, there's 12 of those guys out there, So everybody has a badass, but if you add like two defensive linemen to every team, now it thins it out a little bit, makes it a little more challenging.
So quick question, because I haven't done individual defensive players, right, before. So how is, in your opinion, because you're a little bit more savvy and a little bit more into the fantasy weeds than me, but how different is that for you when you like drafting? How much value do you give the defensive players? Like, how much value does, like you said, like say a TJ Watt have compared to like a top wide receiver or a top running back or something?
So
like that?
I've never actually been in a redraft league with IDP players.
Ah, okay.
But the scoring is very similar to where if TJ Watt goes off and has like a 3-sack game or a strip sack and a fumble or a touchdown or something like that, the scoring can get up there. So the elite guys are worth a whole lot more. It doesn't really impact your early rounds of the draft at all.
Okay, see, but that's why I was curious.
That also depends on how you set up scoring.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could do some crazy IDP. Most of them, or the way we set up mine, I looked at several different leagues. We do we do a point for a solo tackle, a half point for an assisted tackle.
Right.
So if you do that, then what do you do for a fumble, like a strip or a sack where you don't lose possession of the ball? So like a sack is 2 points, a forced fumble is 2 points, but then like an interception is 3, and a fumble that they don't recover, that you recover, is 3. So it's kind of weighed
out
like that.
So it bases out on the scoring. So like who was it that had like 6 pick sixes that year a few years ago for the Cowboys?
Yeah.
They had a corner. Like if a guy like that, you're talking
your
like.
Your touchdown's still going to be 6 points.
Yeah, okay. Gotcha.
So if you have, now corners are hard to put a value on because they don't have a whole lot of tackles. So the defensive backs that I look for are safeties because they tackle more.
Right, right.
You know, ideally you want like a Tyrann Mathieu type that they bring in and allow him to rush the quarterback, because then sometimes you get a sack, a strip fumble, you can get, you know. You want to go with the guys that generate a lot of tackles or generate a lot of turnovers. Was that Diggs that did that? It was
Diggs. It was the other one. Yeah, I can't remember his name.
Played on the other side
name.
Of the ball. Comes out of nowhere. Gets like six. Yeah, you'll figure that out. So he hadn't done anything since then. Since that season, just 2 years ago. I don't know if we talked about adding a super flex or not, but I do highly recommend adding a super flex. Just
Deron
because,
Bland.
There you go, Bland. Still in the Cowboys. Hadn't done much since. And it was six pick sixes, and he probably had like
five pick sixes
out of probably his seven interceptions though in the entire season or something like that. Yeah. Or it might have been just five. But and that was some kind of record. I guarantee you, through like two or three of those pick sixes, he probably was still just out there on the waiver wire.
Probably.
Because, you know, if you're playing fantasy with defensive players, a corner or a safety gets a pick six, probably not getting another one for the rest of the season.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not like you're just going to run out and get that. Oh, look at his prowess for pick sixes. It was that guy for that year, though. I like Superflex. Quarterback is a lot more competitive, but you only start one, which is why you always wait. And you can usually end up in a 10 and 12 team league. You can usually end up getting a good quarterback. What hampers quarterback play in fantasy football is injuries. You add a super flex to where you can now draft or acquire or have two quarterbacks you start on a weekly basis. Forces teams to draft quarterbacks early. In a super flex league and a redraft, I'm drafting quarterback first round. I don't care who's still out there. Unless I have 101. But still, Lamar Jackson, a quarterback that runs in a Superflex league, is worth so much more than he would have been in a redraft. So, highly recommend adding a Superflex. Here's one that I haven't kind of started yet that I do see a lot of team or leagues going with is tight end premium scoring. So, adding like another half a point to a catch for a tight end. To me, tight end's gotten a lot deeper in the last few years to where we don't necessarily have to do that. You don't need to make tight ends scoring more, in my eyes.
Yeah, enough. And like tight ends have evolved enough where they're a lot of teams just use the tight end as an extension of
the
receiving
wide
room.
Receivers.
Like, you don't need to do
so
that.
So I'm looking at last year's tight end scorers, and you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9. Sitting at like tight end 12 is David Njoku. Who put up 14 points a game last season.
Exactly. No, we don't need this.
Tucker Kraft, 10 points a game. Pat Freiermuth, 10 points a game. These are the small ones. Like Brock Bowers, Trey McBride, and George Kittle all almost put up 16 points a game. So I don't even know that we need tight end premium scoring. I do like increasing the number of IR slots. I'm not necessarily a fan of suspended players being able to put in IR spots because he's not hurt. He smoked weed and got suspended or got into a car wreck and got suspended. You should not be able to put that player in. If you want to hang on to him, it should cost you a roster spot, in my opinion. But I don't know if we're seeing more injuries in the NFL these days. It does make it more competitive, though, if a team isn't forced to drop a good player that has an injury just because they had a starter pick up another injury and you already got – I like 5 or 10 IR slots, not going to lie. Like, put them there, you know.
Ooh, five or ten.
Yeah, you know – I'm not a huge fan of like three. I don't like having to force a team.
Mm-hmm.
You're already having to pick up somebody off the waiver wire, which is thin as crap already.
Yeah, yeah, true. It also,
and
I
if
say,
you
it also,
have a season where you have all these guys that are getting hurt,
yeah, you just
keep
have a
them
bad
until
year.
They maybe can come back for a playoff run. Or if it's a dynasty, I don't think you should have to drop these guys. Look, if you have 10 IR spots and you've got 8 of them filled, you're probably not having a good season. Unless you've just got guys that are hurt and aren't going to mean anything when they come back anyway. So if that's what you want to do with your IR spots, fine. If that's what you do with them, then you're still going to have to. If you have a starter get hurt, you're still going to have to go drop somebody. And it's probably going to be that crappy player anyway. So change from waivers to fab. Do this immediately. Rolling waivers is the best waiver system to use. But it starts with the team with the best record, and the team with the worst record gets the waiver priority in the first week.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as you take a waiver in with your waiver priority, you go all the way down back to the back. That's what rolling waivers is. There's a lot of waiver styles that uses the worst team in the league gets number one waiver priority every week, but that just doesn't make sense. That's not how the NFL works. That's not how, like, you shouldn't, just because you're a crappy team, get number one waiver priority every week. Free agent acquisition budget is what FAB means. So every team starts with, say, $100. Nice round number. You can start with whatever you want to. And then the free agents, you have to bid on them. So let's say I don't know, Ashton Jeansey was not, you know, drafted, or whoever his backup was not drafted, and Ashton Jeansey gets hurt in week three. So now you've got whoever it is. Is it Zeus? Is he still over there? He's still there. I'm just not sure if he's going to get the backup role. But say he's out there and he's projected to be the guy. So instead of either the bum team in your league or the team who just happens to be at the top for because of rolling waivers, everybody goes and bids on him, which is how it should be. And if you want to spend 25 of your $100 to get that backup player because you think that he's going to have some run if Jeansey gets hurt, that's 25% of your fab budget. So if you want to spend that, then by all means, go ahead. Now, it gets a little bit different in dynasty leagues and keeper leagues because you can make that fab price that you paid for that player their auction price next season if you keep that player. And that gets into a bunch of nerdiness into that style of fantasy football when it comes to contracts, drafting players. We need a whole fantasy football show, Dom. Maybe that should happen at some point before the season starts.
I'd love it.
All right, so there's only two or three more things. We'll get into those at some point. Maybe the next show that we do, which could be next Sunday. I don't know. That's the end of the first hour. Music's playing, so we got to go. We are going to experience the NFL on the other side of this break. Get about 5 minutes. It's the Bo Johnson Experience. Sports Radio 99 The Game. Welcome back to the Bo Johnson Experience. I'm Bo Johnson. 404-726-0929. That is the text line number and the phone line number. If you want to call us, call us. You want to text us, send us a text. You want to just listen and enjoy the pleasantries and the soothingness of my voice, then by all means, do that too. That sounded like Billy Dee Williams that time. That's what I was – works every time. That's what I was going for. Ever tell you the story about me getting Billy Dee Williams' autograph at
no.
Dragon Con?
I have not heard this story.
So you know I'm a huge Star Wars fan, or at least if you didn't,
yes,
now you do.
Right.
So the last time I went to Dragon Con, which has been a few years, and I very much want to go every year. I've just got so much crap going on. Because you got to do the hotel and stuff. Like, you can't just leave. You got to, because if you do, you're not going to be there a long time. Parking is just. So when I went, Billy Dee Williams was there signing autographs. And you go up to Billy Dee Williams' table, just crap ton of Star Wars stuff. You know, all of Billy Dee Williams' roles. You know, maybe it was Lando freaking Calrissian, you know. But Billy Dee Williams at his autograph signings also has a big fat stack of Colt 45 sign, like logo signs. Like, it would have been the ad that would have been in like a magazine or something like that. But they're glossy, like 8x10s. And it's got Billy Dee Williams in this standing next to this chick holding up a Colt 45 can. And it says, works every time.
Smooth. Wonderful. Wonderful.
So I bought that one. And it's one of my most prized autograph possessions that I have in my entire collection.
Understandably
fantastic
so.
Fantastic stuff. Works every time. Yes, it does. So, Dom, are you a cereal fan?
Love cereal.
Me too. Love me some cereal.
Absolutely.
No, I'm not tonight. I eat cereal a lot, so I'm not a big late night eater. I've heard that it's not good for you, so I try not to do it.
Yeah,
I'm at the age where... are you a Bill Burr fan? I'll just give him,
yes,
hey, you a fan?
Yeah.
Have you seen Bill Burr's most recent
I haven't.
Stand-up?
I need to. I want to. I haven't yet.
In his most recent stand-up, he's like, because about the age from like 40 to 60, and I'm in that age, that window, is, and you do, this is 100% true, 40 to 60 is like drop-dead age, where dudes are just walking around one day and just die for no specific reason whatsoever.
Out of nowhere, yeah.
This is the age. I'm in that age, you know, window where guys just die. And he's talking about that. So I try to, at this point in my life, since I enjoy so many things like having a beer or a bourbon, I try to do healthy stuff with all the rest of my time.
Be a little more health conscious.
Drink a lot of water. Don't drink soft drinks. I do drink energy drinks.
That's my issue. I drink a lot of soda and juice. I got to drink more water.
Yeah, I don't drink. I try to stay away from as much sugar as possible. So I also heard that it's not good to eat late at night. So if I am going to eat late at night, which I will around midnight or so, 11 o'clock when I'm sitting at home, you know, playing Madden or whatever, NCAA, I'll get hungry. You know, it just happens to you sometimes at 11 o'clock. You get the munchies and whatnot. I'll eat cereal because to me in my brain, it's milk, it's cereal, it's not too heavy, it's not like I'm eating a steak or some pizza.
right. So it's really a snack, it's not a real meal.
Cereal's not healthy to eat before you go to bed. Somebody please help me out and tell me, but there's got to be some things that are better than others. So I eat cereal. Love cereal. So what's your favorite cereal, by the way?
Favorite? Frosted Flakes is always just super consistent. Like, I've never been mad at a bowl of Frosted Flakes. I do love some Cinnamon Toast Crunch or, like, Cap'n Crunch.
I ain't mad at you. You know those chocolate Frosted Flakes? You ever tried those yet?
I haven't had the chocolate.
The strawberry one, too.
Strawberry ones I've had. Those are very good. I also, depending on the flavor, I like mini wheats. You can get me with some, like, the maple and brown sugar one is pretty good.
Blueberry, strawberry
both. Is good. I can't do the regular frosted mini wheats. Those taste like cardboard. Yeah.
I do eat a lot of frosted mini wheats because they're high in fiber, and the blueberry and strawberry frosted mini wheats are fantastic.
Amazing.
To me. Yes. Also, like honey bunches of oats.
Honey bunches of oats is delicious.
They got chocolate honey bunches of oats. They got strawberry ones with strawberries in there.
I would say I'm a classic when it comes to honey bunches of oats. Just classic honey roasted almonds.
Yeah. Oh,
and
they're
stuff.
So good,
yes.
Man. Ugh. So you remember the Kelsey mix?
Yes.
Which was the Kelseys had a version of Cheerios or something like that, or I don't know. General Mills right now has got it in the cereal game because they're involving NFL players with their cereals.
Uh-huh.
The Kelsey mix was first. Now there's a Jetta's mix. Justin Jefferson has his own General Mills cereal mix. Now check this out. It's Cinnamon Toast Crunch mixed with strawberry and Frosted Lemon Cheerios. Strawberry Cheerios, I knew existed. I've never seen Frosted Lemon Cheerios, and that sounds just weird to me.
Yeah, Frosted Lemon Cheerios.
Yeah, I wonder what somebody's been doing to get the urge to eat that stuff. Also, General Mills is making four limited edition boxes of different types of cereal featuring Ja'Marr Chase, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Justin Jefferson. So they've got Justin Jefferson on a box of Cinnamon Toast Crunch, as well as the Jetta's Mix box of cereal.
Okay. See, so I was going to say, is each player going to have their own mix?
No, not their own mix, but their other two are just on boxes of cereal. So Ja'Marr Chase is on a box of Lucky Charms in a green football uniform, looking like a leprechaun.
Like a leprechaun.
Amon-Ra St. Brown is on a Cheerios box, but it's the headstand celebration. And he's wearing like a honeycomb looking freaking football jersey and whatnot.
He's like hanging, like a honeycomb hanging.
Yeah, but he's just, you know, remember you know the one I'm talking about?
Yeah,
the upside down headstand thing?
Yeah.
Just like, oh my, how'd that not break his neck? Anyways. So yeah, if you're an NFL fan and a cereal fan, check out the new Justin Jefferson's Jetta's Mix at your local Kroger or whatever grocery store you shop at. Dom, let's experience the NFL. Brock Purdy just got broken off very recently, which has all kinds of people just upset. You can't pay Brock Purdy whatever he got paid, $50 million a year or whatever. Well, you know, he's probably a top 15 quarterback in the NFL. And that's the going rate for a starting quarterback in the NFL. So why are people so mad? Is it the fact that he was Mr. Irrelevant or just that he's not flashy, like he doesn't run a lot, he just makes good throws and scores touchdowns. I don't think that anything the San Francisco 49ers have lost in the last couple of years were because of him. Not a lot, anyway. He does a pretty good job at managing the game, which is exactly what you want a quarterback to do, so I'm not sure why people hate that saying. Here's George Kittle on Brock Purdy.
Well, you know, okay, I will say we all still have something to prove every single day. So for the people that like saying that, you know, he's got something to prove, you know, good for them. You know, I think Brock is going to continue to elevate his game and continue to play at a high level. And that's all we really care about. You know, I just want to be around guys that strive to be better every single day. I don't like being around people who are content because that's complacency is not a good thing in the locker room. And so if our best players are continually practicing, they're continually getting better every single day and they have that desire to get better every day. I'm in a great room. I'm in a great building. And so I'm just happy to be around guys that are like that. And Brock is definitely one of those guys.
So good teammate, pretty good quarterback, better than average. What more could you ask for? Speaking of fantasy, George Kittle this year, I don't know who Brock Purdy is going to throw the ball to this season. Juwan Jennings is complaining about needing more money. Debo's gone.
Brandon Ayuk's
gone, or is he hurt or something? He's wanting
he's
to leave.
Coming
or,
back.
No,
from
they
an
paid Ayuk, didn't they? But he got hurt.
He got paid, and then he tore his ACL, and so he's coming off of injury.
But that was last season, so he may not even play this year. And then there's who's the other one over there? Man.
Ricky Pearsall.
That's right. But then he get hurt too.
He got shot.
He came back from getting shot.
Yes.
And played a little bit. Well, he didn't just play for a few games. All right. So Brock Purdy may not have the best fantasy football season of the season because he has nobody to throw the ball to, but the one person he does is George Kittle. That guy is going to blow it up. Number three overall tight end last year in fantasy football. So Aaron Rodgers took about 5 months to make up his mind whether or not he was going to sign with the Pittsburgh Steelers or when. During that time, Steelers veteran Cam Hayward came out and said, Aaron, you're either going to play for us and be a Steeler or you're not. Please make up your mind. Stop stringing us along. I'm a Steeler. By gosh, I need you to make up your mind. Well, Aaron Rodgers signs with the Steelers. What do you get, $20 million for 1 year? Something like that?
It was only like $10 million.
Or $10 million, yeah. But he has incentives or something where he could get up to that much. Here's Cam Hayward. And he's changed his tone a little bit about Aaron Rodgers.
He just felt like he was bought in, and, you know, it worked out for the best. Like, I know sometimes we live in a society where we want things now, but, you know, patience has a way of, you know, paying off. And to now see he's a Pittsburgh Steeler and just walking through the locker room, asking questions, how we do things. He's bought in. And, you know, that's all I can ask for, you know, our quarterback. And as a teammate, you know, I'm excited to go to work with him.
Patience is now all of a sudden a virtue. Look, and that's fine, Cam. I love how stories can just change. Flip a 180.
Absolutely.
Once you get that dotted line signed, now we can move forward. Pittsburgh Steelers, look, what a division that is. I would love to say the Pittsburgh Steelers, because I think that they do have a shot. You never quite know how the Bengals are going to put together their season. Like last year, the Bengals went in and they were supposed to just be good, and they weren't.
Their issue is
couldn't win football games.
They start
defense
seasons
was horrible.
So slow. For whatever reason, they get, like, for the past 2 or 3 years, that's been their issue.
But
they
start
Joey off
0-4. Put up 35 points, throw 4 touchdowns, and still lose.
Yeah.
And then you got the Ravens, who are just great and best quarterback in the league. Well, second best quarterback in the league.
I mean, for the Ravens, it's like, hey,
bro,
we got to do it now.
About this a couple weeks ago, though, the Ravens' defense, goodness gracious alive, man. So, I don't know that the Steelers can win that division, which is unfortunate because I think the Steelers are going to be a pretty good football team this year. Maybe they get a wild card. I don't know if they had any. They may win the division. They could any given Sunday.
We'll see. I think if you're the Steelers, you're fighting for second place in that division.
Probably so, which could get you a wild card because you may have to win 11 games to get second place in that division and get a wild card because the AFC is pretty strong. If you had a list of guys that would have been great in their careers, but they were just so damn hurt, Mike Williams ain't going to be at the top. You're going to have like your King Griffey Juniors and your Bo Jacksons and you know, those
guys.
I don't know. Flip a couple pages on this list because I'm sure it's long. Mike Williams is going to be on that list somewhere. What a phenomenal talent. If he didn't have the knees and the ankles and the calf injuries and whatnot, you hate to see a career end like this, but he did have a pretty good career in the NFL while he was on the field. Mike Williams retired last week, and I'm pretty sure he's like 8 or 9 seasons.
I was believing 9 seasons.
Nine?
He's 30 years old. It's funny because he had actually re-signed with the Chargers back in March.
And I'm assuming that he probably ran into another injury.
Probably
of some
an injury
sort.
Or, you know, just going through training camp and stuff and just realizing, you know what, man, I don't want to do this anymore.
Here's Justin Herbert talking about his former wide receiver.
Mike, he's always been there for us, and, you know, we're going to be there for him. It's obviously a tough situation, and you know, I've got so much respect for him as a teammate, as a friend, as a, you know, as a receiver, as a player, and, you know, the man that he is. We're just going to be there for him, and however we can help, you know, football at the end of the day is a game, and there's more to life than just football, and, you know, I'm just hoping for the best for him.
Whatever you decide to do with your next endeavor, Mike Williams, I'm sure you will succeed, but what a great fantasy football player Mike Williams was. He was the ultimate roller coaster of a fantasy football player. Like,
listen, man,
you're going to get him late as hell in a draft. He's only going to play 6 games for you. He's only going to have like 6 good games.
Yeah,
he'll play in like 9 total.
Yeah. Hey, listen, even though we didn't use him at all for real last year, Mike Williams won us a game for the Pittsburgh Steelers last year. Going up there after we traded for him and literally used him in one game, he won us that game, and then we didn't use him at all for the rest of the season.
So enjoy retirement, Mike Williams. Mentioned Debo Samuel, former San Francisco 49ers. Debo Samuel plays for the Washington Commanders now. Word around town is that he looks like a freaking linebacker when he showed up to freaking OTAs. Terry McLaurin, still not paid by the Washington Commanders, believes that he deserves to be. I kind of believe that he deserves to be. Because behind Debo and Terry McLaurin, you got Noah Brown. Okay. Michael Gallup goes over to the Washington Commanders. The other McCaffrey, Luke, sitting there on the depth chart. Nobody really that you want to call home and talk to mom about. Here's Terry McLaurin on why he deserves a contract extension right now.
You have a way of feeling that what you've proven up until this point, and when you don't, when you see that is put in front of you of how somebody perceives you or values you, that's disappointing. You know what I mean? It's a little bit disrespectful to me. And again, like the front office, the ownership, they have to do what's best for the team. I understand that, but I also know what I bring to a team. And I feel like I've proven that day in, day out. There hasn't been anything that they've asked me to do since they've been here that I have not done willingly, openly. And I'm not saying that that's not what I'm supposed to. That's what I'm supposed to do as a leader. But you would think when that is displayed consistently over years of time, then that would be, you know, honored and respected. And so, again, the toughest thing is just, you know, having to be in this limbo. And but I haven't stopped working. You know, I work my tail off, and no dollar amount is going to change that. No dollar amount is going to make me work harder. That's not how I'm built. But at the same time, I have to stand on my worth and my value.
You 100% do, Terry McLaurin. Pay the man, Washington Commanders. I really hope that this happens because I've got the old kind of fell into the Jaden Daniels, Terry McLaurin stack on one of my dynasties in fantasy football. I need that. I kind of liked it last year. It worked out great for me. So let's keep that going. We got to catch a break here. When we get back, we'll do a weekly rewind-ish. I've got some other sound for you, and I've got some funny ones. Plus, SEC Media Days was this past week. We got some sound from that stuff as well. Plus, if we have time, which we probably won't, but maybe we will, we'll ask each other anything at the 8:40 segment. I don't know. Lots to still do in only 35 minutes. We'll be right back. Bo Johnson Experience on Sports Radio 910 The Game. Sports Radio 99 The Game. Welcome back to the Bo Johnson Experience. Yeah, that one needs a music bed behind it, too. I don't, you know, I usually warn Dom about these because Big Voice Guy Steve made me all these great pieces of imaging and didn't put a music bed behind it, but I didn't specifically ask him to do that. So there it is. There's the music bed. We don't necessarily need one. Just sometimes I trip over words and forget names and stuff, and it helps to have something in the background while I fumble over myself to look up stuff on my phone. Anyways, Dom and I were just talking about the Washington Commanders and why the hell they haven't paid Terry McLaurin yet, and we can't really figure it out because he's young and he's a good receiver, and it's not like they have a whole lot of guys. They paid Laremy Tunsil is making some money. Marshawn Lattimore is making some money. You got Brian Robinson and Jaden Daniels on rookie contracts. And nobody really else on that team that makes a whole lot of money. Plus, you just brought in a bunch of old guys. They're only going to be there for like a year or two. They got Von Miller and Bobby Wags. Daron Payne getting up there. Javon Kinlaw probably makes a little piece of couple monies. Oh, Eddie Goldman plays for the Washington Commanders now. Huh. Sweet. All right. So anyways, pay the man. Commanders, that's all I got to say. Check, check, check. Great movie.
One of my favorites.
Fantastic movie. I finally watched Gladiator 2 over the weekend.
how did you feel?
So you can't compare it to the first Gladiator is in my top five movies of all time. At like two or three.
Yeah, love, not mad at that.
Love that movie. This one was good. I'd watch it again, but you can't go into watching it. You can't go compare a sequel to the original. You just can't do that. It was kind of goofy.
Yeah, I
like Pedro Pascal just is in everything these days.
Yeah, he's and, oh god.
You know,
and I love him, but I'm kind of
Lucius wants to kill him at first, and he turns into a good guy all of a sudden, and then they kill him in the
best part of that movie was Denzel Washington. He was fantastic.
He did a great job playing his part, but even that was still
I would put it to you this way. I remember watching it and being like, I wasted my time.
I don't think it was a waste of time. It was fun enough for me to watch it again. I don't know how. Did they just flood the freaking Roman Colosseum and find great white sharks?
Yeah, yeah, and just to toss them in.
Where do they have great white sharks just laying around?
Yeah, just
where they can flood the Roman Colosseum. I'm like, surely this is at a different event. This is a different venue, right? Where they have water.
Also, where were they keeping the water? Where were they? Did they have a tank? Did they have an aquarium for the shark?
Italy's close to water. Italy's on water, right? Isn't Italy surrounded by water?
Yeah, it's a boot. Yeah, it's a boot.
So there's water around places. I don't know how you transport it back in that day. It's not like you have a helicopter that could come pick up some water. And look, movies like that are why sharks get a bad rap. Dude falls in the water and immediately is just scooped up by a great white shark. That is not how sharks work, people. Don't believe everything you see on the movies.
They're just curious.
Yeah, man, they got no hands, bro. They just take nibbles. Sometimes nibbles hurt, man. You know who Funny Marco is?
Yes, yes.
So you've watched a bunch of his stuff?
I've not a bunch of his stuff, but I am familiar with his work.
All right, so I was like not him. Until the celebrity softball game, not Legends of Celebrities anymore, celebrity softball game this past week at Truist Park. And Funny Marco was on there. I'm like, I don't know who that guy is. Is he really a celebrity? So then I find a clip of him and Xavier Leggett of the Carolina Panthers. And if you listen to the midday show with Andy and Randy Monday through Friday, 11 to 2, at all, you'll know that I'm a huge fan of Xavier Leggett because I am from the South. This man has one of the best Southern accents you'll ever hear. I absolutely love it. On top of that, we have a lot of things in common. I've never eaten raccoon, but he likes squirrel and he likes frog legs. We like country food. We're from the country.
Yep.
So, and he's made money already in his second year in the NFL off of his voice.
Oh, like, I'm sure. Absolutely.
He did like voiceover, like Christmas cards, Valentine's cards and stuff. So Funny Marco, I guess, is like, he does stuff on like YouTube and stuff. He's a YouTube comedian, does stuff with people. Anyways, here's Funny Marco trying to get Xavier Leggett to say just a sentence.
As if we're going to sound it out. We came down here. We got to work.
We came out here. We got to work.
Okay.
What's up,
I can't imagine talking when you mad, because you talking like that normal. When he mad, he probably, bro, that.
We came down here, got to work, man. Look, I understood him. He said it perfectly. So there's video on the line right now. I was going to clip it and play it, but it's not really radio worthy because it's a video. I'm assuming because Xavier Leggett was raised in the country, probably wasn't raised around a whole lot of money. He's never been on a boat or on a boat on a lake before.
Mm-hmm.
There's video from this past weekend of Xavier Leggett going out on the lake in a boat. They're trying to get Xavier Leggett to get in the lake, get in the water, just so he can go skiing, bro. It's so freaking funny. he like sticking his toe in the water and then back on the boat.
Nope. Uh-uh.
Then he sticks like a foot in the water, and then he gets in the water, and then he gets right back out because he can't feel the bottom. Like, bro, you're in the middle of the lake, and his friends are trying to tell him, like, dude, you're in the middle of the lake. You can hold on to the boat. Just get in there. Hilarious. Like, he's one of the most genuine, like, when you watch videos of Xavier Leggett, be it with his horses or whatever, he's one of the most genuinely, like, real people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like,
he's
man's
great.
Country.
He's just country.
F,
that's really it. That's really all it is.
No
just a good old country boy.
So, that's funny. So, I didn't know, is there a Cam Newton, Jalen Hurts debate?
There shouldn't be.
I didn't know that there was either. And you know what? I think there may be. There may be an expletive in this cut because I listened to it once and I was in a hurry when I got here. So I'm going to have you listen to it when we go to break and we can play it on the other side and just bleep something out.
Smart man.
Yeah. I'm not trying to get you in trouble or myself. So apparently there is a Cam Newton versus Jalen Hurts debate. And that's fine if you want to compare them apples to apples. But Will Compton off Bussin' with the Boys has a very one-sided take on this comparison, and it's Cam Newton because of the fact that you had to game plan for Cam Newton, but you don't have to game plan necessarily for Jalen Hurts. And I don't necessarily agree with that take. Because look at the teams they were on. Look at the Eagles team that just won the Super Bowl. Oh, my goodness. I haven't even mentioned. Sorry, folks. This is how my brain works. ADD to the max, especially when I'm not going off any kind of rundown here. Look at the Eagles team that just won the Super Bowl. And look at the Carolina Panthers team that got beat by the Denver Broncos in the Super Bowl. That Carolina Panthers team didn't have near the weapons that this Eagles team has. And although, like, you would have to – who you scheming for on the Carolina Panthers out now? Devin Funchess? Who was the running back for them? They did run the offense through Cam because that's all they had, and he's good enough. I think if you put Jalen Hurts on that Carolina Panthers team, maybe they win the Super Bowl because Jalen Hurts actually goes for the fumble. I don't know. You put Cam Newton on this Philadelphia Eagles team, and guess what? People are still game planning for Saquon Barkley first. So we'll let you hear that clip in a minute. There may be, because on Busting with the Boys, they do curse. I just want to play it safe here. Let's hear it. This is Will Compton.
They're both great. Jalen Hurts, great player. But Cam Newton is somebody that you had to game plan for. Like, when you're playing the Carolina Panthers, it's, hey, this team runs through Cam Newton. It runs through jersey number one. And so you would have to do everything around Cam Newton. Jalen Hurts, hell of a player, has stats. His stats will probably be comparable because where he's at now compared to where Cam Newton was, he's got a few more rushing touchdowns. It's like, okay, yeah, five guys push you into the end zone. But his stats are there to where it could be like a debate or an argument, so to speak. But bro, you're not game planning Jalen Hurts the same way that you would game plan Cam Newton. When you're sitting in game planning against the Eagles, like, you have to think about all of these other cats before you think about Jalen Hurts. You got Saquon Barkley and you're talking about the line of scrimmage, not in the same breath that you are when you're playing against the Carolina Panthers, because it's like everything runs through Cam Newton. Like, you'd be out there pregame warm up and you'd see this dude and it's like, that is an action figure.
Everything he said about those two individuals and about Cam Newton is true. He is like an action figure out there. Cam Newton was a badass. MVP. And I'm trying to, let's see. All right. I've got the 2015 roster for the Carolina Panthers pulled up. This is the year they went to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see. Oh, I've got the roster. Not a Devin Funchess.
Good Lord.
All I remember
is Ted Ginn Jr. was the best receiver on that team that year, which says a lot.
Let me try to pull up depth chart here.
That I remember that 2015 Carolina Panthers squad was ridiculous. It really was just Cam Newton and a bunch of guys.
And oh yeah, Jonathan Stewart, Mike Tolbert, Fozzie Whitaker, Ted Ginn Jr. Yeah.
Fozzie Whitaker.
Greg Olsen on that team.
Yes.
Badass. Ted Ginn Jr., Devin Funchess, Mike Tolbert. Yeah. So probably Saquon Barkley's a little bit better than Jonathan Stewart. I would probably have to say that A.J. Brown and Slim Reaper are probably better than Devin Funchess and Ted Ginn Jr. Okay. Cam had the better tight end. Not by a whole lot. So you did
say,
have to.
Are we sure? Like, that was Greg Olsen at the end of his career. Jalen Hurts has Dallas Goedert, like, entering his
pretty
prime.
Pretty good Dallas Goedert, too. Well, he's in his prime. All I'm saying, I guess, is that season, that offense would have ran through Cam Newton. But don't you think that Jalen Hurts could have taken that same team to the Super Bowl? I don't think that Cam Newton is that much better than Jalen Hurts. Is he?
I think he's more talented. I think he's more physically imposing. Here's what I will say. Because Jalen Hurts is a better just pure passer, and he's better at reading defenses and whatnot. But I feel like if you give Cam the resources that Jalen has had throughout his career, we're talking about
Eagles.
Cam.
If you take the Eagles' weapons and put them on the Panthers team, they win the Super Bowl. I think if you put Jalen Hurts and put him on that team, they win the Super Bowl.
I don't know with that. I don't think Jalen Hurts is leading Ted Ginn Jr. and Devin Funchess. I love Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts is a super talented quarterback.
I think he's extremely underrated. I think a lot of people underrate him. But again, I've seen too many times where even in the NFL, Cam was on the field and it looked like a man playing amongst boys.
And he was.
And
100%
it was just different. It was just different with Cam.
All right, you've almost got me convinced, but all right. So maybe Will Compton is right. Who knows?
Also, Cam never had like this great of an offensive line to play behind either.
True.
Jalen's just in a better situation. In all honesty,
I don't know that. I don't know that you can.
You can't hold that against him in the conversation
of one better than the other. You can't. But Jalen is a better passer. I don't know which one of them is a better runner. Cam just kind of bowled over people because he could. Jalen runs like a running back when he runs, but he's more of a pocket passer that runs to escape. Cam ran to
because the rest
of his team sucked.
I guess the best way, and kind of like Will said there, was in the idea of who do you game plan for? Like if everything is equal,
and that's
right?
Just Cam didn't have Saquon freaking Barkley.
Well, like we can even go like. Let's go a few years ago before they made the trade for A.J. Brown and like when Jalen Hurts first kind of got the job from Carson Wentz. That team wasn't stacked. They were kind of, you know, they were kind of going through their Super Bowl hangover and stuff after the Wentz and Nick Foles era. But like that team was okay. But even when that team was okay, you never sat back and said, all right, Jalen Hurts is the guy we got to worry about. Even when Cam was on... Good
Not
team,
any more than
bad
you did
team.
Any other quarterback on any
exactly.
other team, probably. So, yeah,
Cam,
I guess you got a point.
Good team, bad team, whether he has weapons, whether he has Kelvin Benjamin over there for a few years, it didn't matter. Cam is the guy we got to stop.
Yeah. Well, because if you just, yeah, that's, all right, sure. Because if you let Jalen sit back there in the pocket, you can let him sit back. You can't do that with Cam, yeah. I guess. Just, all right, fine. Maybe he's right. I wish we had a way to, like, prove this.
It would be great. It would be great.
You know, there used to be that show where they would take, you know, I don't know, they would take like 19 or 1850s Mongolian tribe and put them up against some.
Yes, Deadliest Warriors. This is one of my favorite shows
bro,
ever.
Show so
I loved that show so much.
Why can't we do that with football? I mean, I guess you could do that with like Madden.
I was going to say, I mean,
but you can't take, I want the entire
team. You know what?
Team and
that would actually probably be a really good show. Like, if you like went like Deadliest Warrior style and you took like, we're going to take a team and we're going to take the metrics of that time and then we're going to take another team from the metrics of their time and we're going to simulate it and then we're going to give you a visual, like visual representation of how the game would have played out.
There you go, TV producer people. Let's do it. We need Deadliest Warrior. NFL style, deadliest player, something like that. All right, kids, we got one more segment left.
Gridiron get downs.
There we go. Yeah, see? We copyright that. Dom owns that, by the way. For anybody out there listening that's going to steal that idea. We got one segment left. I got some SEC Media Days audio in there. And if you got any questions for us, we can do a little. I want to play very quickly. Kalen DeBoer talking about Michael Penix because that'll make people happy, and then Shaq too. We'll have some fun in the next segment. You got some questions? Shoot them to us. 404-726-0929. That's the number to the text line too. We'll be back in a few minutes. The Bo Johnson Experience on Sports Radio 910 The Game.
Oh, sometime you get that feeling.
Yeah. Sometimes I get a feeling. Welcome back to the Bo Johnson Experience. About 15 minutes left for us this Sunday evening. It's 8:41. Infinity Sports Network is up next. Just having some fun on a Sunday night. Got some more stuff here. So SEC Media Days was this past week. Kalen DeBoer, head coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide, currently, well, he was last year too. But former head coach of Atlanta Falcons starting quarterback Michael Penix Jr. By the way, 404-726-0929. You can ask each other, us, anything. You can call us with a fantasy football or a Falcons or a Dogs or a Braves question if you want, or you can text us at that same line. Kalen DeBoer was at SEC Media Days, obviously as the head coach of Alabama, but he did take some time to speak about his former quarterback at the University of Washington that's now with the Atlanta Falcons, Michael Penix Jr., when he was on with the morning shift earlier this week.
You just said something about me making him. He made me too. You know, I mean, together we did it. You know, some amazing things. And I just saw him a couple weeks ago. If there's a lot of players that are super special to you, but because of his journey and what we accomplished together, and his faith and confidence to come up to Washington at the time, when maybe staying closer to home, and the career kind of going a certain direction at that point, just meant so much. And so, yeah, he actually came over a couple weeks ago, spent the night at the house, and we had dinner with a bunch of the others that he knows well that came down from Washington too. So I'm super excited about what this next year is for him. When he gets comfortable and familiar with an offense, those tools that he has will take over. And so I'm excited for this next round.
That's a very positive statement there, that once he gets comfortable, the tools are going to take over, by former University of Washington head coach, now current University of Alabama head coach, Kalen DeBoer, on his former quarterback, Michael Penix Jr., because that's what you're going to need. Now, the good thing about Penix starting three games last season is that he started three games last season. They didn't go great, but they didn't go horribly. Played about as good as you can expect a rookie quarterback to play. The only thing you just don't know is who's he going to be this season. And do you allow him enough time to figure it out? That's the thing. Because when you look at Tampa, won the South 2 years in a row, I think, maybe more than that. Baker Mayfield was a top five quarterback in the NFL last year. Yes, that Baker Mayfield, people. All right. Vikings. Now, the Vikings are in even more of a big question mark than the Falcons are, with J.J. McCarthy at the helm. But they still got a good football team. Very winnable in primetime, Minnesota Vikings. Then the Carolina Panthers. That's going to be a fun game. We had somebody ask the question on one of the shows earlier in the week, who's going to have the better season, Bryce Young or Michael Penix Jr.? And with as good as Bryce Young played down the stretch last year, this is year three for Bryce, right? With as good as he played down the stretch last year, how do you not say Bryce Young? And this is just being a football fan looking at both quarterbacks and the experience that they have, with Bryce Young going into year three, Michael Penix in a rookie season, care what you say about three games, still a rookie. Bryce Young has the opportunity to show out this season, and I think that they may. They drafted Tet McMillan. He's got a couple wide receivers there that, he's got some weapons. It's going to be a fun game in week three. But then you turn around and you got the Commanders. NFC Championship last year, everybody is predicting, a little fall from grace for Jaden Daniels, a little regression. You may see that. I mean, you don't typically have seasons worthy of Rookie of the Year 2 years in a row, but he may. I don't see anything that – nothing – who was it that was speaking on? We got audio last week from one of Jaden's former offensive linemen that plays for the Browns now. It was like, this cat never had a bad day in practice. Not one. And he's never seen any NFL quarterback come in and not have one bad day at practice. And then he goes out, Rookie of the Year, make the NFC Championship rookie season. You can't expect a huge fall off from that. You can expect some regression. But he's got a much better wide receiver core, assuming they bring Terry McLaurin back, or when they do. Debo's much better than everything else they had. D-line's improved. Defense as a whole's improved. Remember, they got Marshawn Lattimore towards the end of last season via trade from the Saints. Now Marshawn Lattimore's healthy. The team's better. So how can you expect them to, Commanders in week four. Then you got a week five bye, which is completely atrocious. Then you got the Bills at home. Falcons do not have an easy start to the season.
No.
So, best case, what is best case scenario for this schedule? Now, look, Falcons defense, I feel just like everybody else feels that analyzes this type of stuff. They won the draft. They had a great draft. Everything that's come back about Pierce is that he's going to be the dude. We've all seen Jalen Walker wreck shop. He should not have even been there. And Pierce was the guy the Falcons wanted, but Jalen Walker was still on the table. Then you got Braylon Trice. No idea what he's going to do because he got hurt in training camp last year. Ruka Roro got some play in. He's going to be a starter this year, it looks like. Defense should be improved. What's the offense going to do? You got the weapons. You got the offensive line. What is Michael Penix is the biggest question maybe in the entire division this season. One of the biggest questions in the NFC. What is Michael Penix Jr.? If he's as good And we think that he is going to be. We do. He does. You look at the guy play. He's got the metrics. He's got the skill. You can see in the three games that he played last year, he did get incrementally better. Man, that's a tough schedule. But you got to, you know, the what-if game is what we do here on the radio because we got to have stuff to talk about. And I'm hearing that there's no way you go back to Kirk Cousins. So, and Dom, you said last week you got to let him take his bumps. How many bumps you let him take? Just all of them? Is it Michael Penix is the starter, assuming health,
yes.
Just the entire season, no matter what record?
Yeah, you don't pull
you
him.
Never pull him out.
You don't pull him unless
as
he gets
a
hurt.
Rookie quarterback that you drafted eight overall, nine, eight, eight, nine. Am I getting mixed up with Drake? Eight or nine? Nine?
I think he was.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. Top ten. Whatever. It was eight or nine. It was one of those.
Nine.
You got to give them. That's what I hate about the modern day NFL and sports in general. Is we don't give people enough time to get better.
Yeah.
We put a player in a position. If he's not immediately great in that position and in with a new team in a lot of cases with free agents, we just assume that the guy sucks and we want him out. Out of the position, out of the team, onto a different team. We're too quick to move on in this day and age of sports. Coaches get 3 years. Why?
I was going to say, especially with this specific situation, I always default. I remember Kurt Warner talking about when Eli Manning got drafted because Kurt was on that Giant squad and Eli came on and Eli struggled. And the coaching staff.
Peyton struggled as a rookie.
And the coaching staff wanted to go to Kurt. They were like, hey, the rookie's not doing it for us. We need you to come in. And Kurt specifically said, if you pull him and you throw me in there, you're going to ruin this kid.
Him. Yeah.
He needs to take his lumps. He needs to learn. This is the only way he's going to get better.
So I guess from that perspective, maybe it is good that the Falcons still have Kirk because you know that you've got a guy who you can plug. Like if Penix gets hurt, and I'm not, you never wish injury on people or anything. You got to talk about it, though. If he were to get hurt, it's got to be Kirk. There's no way you go anywhere else. That's why he's on the team. Insurance. Yeah. But I guess it's a good thing with all the injury stuff and all the like the whole narrative behind Kirk Cousins saying you can never bench Michael Penix for Kirk. He only goes in if there's an injury. I guess that's a good thing for Penix or for maybe for the entire situation because you know in the back of your head you got to stay with this guy because if not, we got that guy. We're not going to that guy, so we got to let this guy take his lumps.
Yeah.
But that's what you got to do in the NFL. And if you get out to a 2-4 start as an Atlanta Falcons fan, you can't just be like, put in Kirk. You can't do that.
Yeah, no. If
you got to take every lump as a Falcons fan, you got to take every lump that Michael Penix takes right along with him.
Unless this season. I'll say, unless he goes out there and has like a Nathan Peterman type performance where he throws like six interceptions in the first half of a game or something
Kirk Cousins versus the Chargers.
Like,
last
unless it's like a performance like that where it's just like, okay, you very clearly aren't ready for Sundays. Then okay. But outside of that, there's nothing Michael Penix can really show me this year.
I don't think that he's going to be that bad.
Yeah, that's what I said.
But there could be one of those games in the first three games.
There could be. Now
he didn't have one of the first three games he played last year. I think he threw one interception in one game, two in another maybe. None
of them
wasn't
his fault.
He threw one in each game.
If Kyle Pitts knew how to
catch. Kyle Pitts can't catch a football on the goal line and literally patted it like a volleyball to another player. Not his fault. You're right. Should have only meant two. Which improves the 51 QBR a lot.
Yeah,
he's got the skill set. I do believe he's going to be good, but there is a big what if there. Like it's a huge, huge, monumental, huge what if.
The entire season hinges upon that.
Yeah.
Whether or not you make the playoffs
Everything
this year
done.
Is dependent upon how Michael Penix plays.
Does Kirk run with the twos in spring in training camp?
Yeah, because
you got to keep him ready, right?
Because that's the issue with this, which is why I wish they would have traded him, cut him, just did something, get him off the team, so that way you don't have these types of issues lingering. Like, because now it's like, I brought this up a few times. Like, you want him to be the backup, so you want him to get the reps, but you know very clearly he wants the starting job. He's like, you're gonna cause dissension in the locker room because there are some people that are probably still going to be Kirk, a Kirk guy possibly. I just like with the 49ers, you know, like when they went to what's the kid who was goodness, why am I blanking on his name? The young kid that they had and he ended up not panning out, but they kicked Jimmy Garoppolo essentially to the side and had him like practicing on a separate field. Like, don't even be anywhere near the team, because we don't even want people to, like, see you and remember how things used to be. We Trey Lance, that's the kid's
old
name.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
We're all in on Trey Lance. We need him. That's the issue that you create when you still have him there in this situation, in that locker room. You should have got rid of Kirk. Now you have to deal with this situation of, okay, do we run him with the twos? Are we
but
really going to have him be the backup?
Still have one of the best insurance policies in the
that
NFL.
That is true.
If
and,
not
and,
the best.
And Grant,
he's the best. He's the best backup quarterback.
And that is the counter
why
argument.
Still have him though.
Exactly. The counter argument is you're going to pay him. You're paying him anyway this year. You might as well pay him to do his job.
Yeah. So, and even if you get rid of him, you automatically have to go out and get another quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to go into 2025 with Easton Stick as your backup. As much as you've done to improve this team through the draft, free agency, whatever, you're not going to go into a season with Easton Stick, right?
No,
so you would have had to go on shopping for a quarterback anyway. But now you have given an injury to any starting quarterback in the NFL. All other 31 teams, any injury, you now have the most valuable trade chip in the league.
That's true.
Like, if there's an injury to a playoff caliber team, you can get, I mean, first round draft pick, possibly, but you definitely get a two or a three, because a three is what they were talking about wanting before all this, like during the two months ago.
God forbid. Listen, again, that's not wishing injury on anyone, but like, God forbid J.J. McCarthy gets hurt again. You think Minnesota wouldn't welcome Kirk
100%,
back?
100%. Because he was about to go back there anyway.
Exactly.
They just didn't want to give him the years.
Yeah. So, like, he still has value to the Falcons, I understand. I understand why they're keeping him. It's not the decision I would have made, but I get it.
Dude, if something happens to, I mean, we're talking about the Eagles, something happened to, Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts breaks a leg, high ankle sprain.
Mm-hmm.
Bro.
Joe Burrow gets hurt in Cincinnati because their O-line can't protect.
Go look at the freaking backups around the league.
Yeah.
None of them.
There's not another backup in the league that's better than Kirk Cousins.
And it's not really particularly
not even close. Not close at all.
You know, the Browns have like three backups and they don't have a starter. And they're all just going to be backups playing in the number one spot, which is probably going to be Flacco.
Yeah.
You know? So it's such an interesting, thought-provoking, just whole conversation around just, man, what do? You got to keep him fresh. He's got to run with the twos. You don't want, not going to put him in. Not going to put him in if he does. Oh,
this
man.
This is the issue. This is the issue. It's hindsight is 2020. It doesn't make sense to cry over spilled milk. But this is why I was very publicly against. I was publicly against the signing of Kirk Cousins to begin with, because I was just like, with either go and get a veteran quarterback who can just come in here and hold the fort down. But I was all for going and getting a young quarterback and then just letting.
The whole thing that I always said about giving Cousins that much money is just year one off of an Achilles, because we see this.
Yep.
We see it with everybody in every sport. You're never the same with an Achilles or an ACL or even a UCL in baseball or football for that matter. You're never the same until year two. You can get back to playing ready. But
yeah,
then
you can be
what's
healthy enough to play,
like,
but you're not.
Performance.
Yes,
there's
exactly.
Ready to play and ready to perform. Like, performance level is never until year two, which is why they must have had it. And they say they didn't have the intention of drafting Penix. He was just there and they liked him. Okay.
Again, they fell in love with him. The same way they kind of have a
such a
tendency to do.
Questionable situation, this whole thing. Oh, man. And you know, and it was visible and it was there from day freaking one. He even said it. The Achilles feels fine. It's just I don't feel fine.
Yeah.
Because
your Achilles doesn't feel
not
fine.
Not fine. Like, it feels fine, but it's not back to what you need to be.
Yeah, it feels fine.
It's not stretching
doesn't
enough.
Feel right.
We didn't stretch it out enough. All right. Sorry, we didn't get to any SEC conversation. 9-game schedule in the SEC, yay or nay?
Yay.
Because if you do yay, you can't have – I like out-of-conference rivalry games better than I like a 9th SEC. I like an LSU versus Clemson versus versus somebody else in the SEC, Vanderbilt, or, you know, because there's going to be that argument next. You go to 9 games, like, well, we want to play Vandy every year, because an SEC schedule is going to benefit you in the long run, no matter who it is, because strength of schedule didn't matter squat last season. So how are you going to benefit outside of getting a lot more money? And that's what it all boils down to, I guess, is the money. It's always been the money. Will always be the money. All right, that's it for me. I got to go. Infinity Sports Network is next. Dom, thank you. Great job as always. I'll be back at some point. It's Bo Johnson Experience on Sports Radio 99 The Game.